I was looking yesterday in James chapter 3. And in James chapter 3, I was kind of looking at just the culture and how the culture operates and how easily we're influenced by the culture. And it's good for us to remember, because even in the body of Christ, we can look around and we can see how just culture itself is pointed in the wrong direction. And we can even look and see others and how other people, even in the body of Christ, we can see how they're influenced by the culture. But sometimes it's hard to turn that picture towards us, hard to turn that camera towards us and look at ourselves, take a photograph of ourselves and see where we're at. It's really easy to allow the culture, because we're surrounded by it, for the culture to change us, to impact us, to cause us to see things from the improper perspective, from the perspective of the world, as opposed of through the lens of the Word of God and the promises of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read these verses again. These are James chapter 3. It's verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read them in the Amplified Bible so you get the full picture of it. We looked at verse number 13 yesterday, and we'll pick up from there. Verse number 13 said, "Who is there amongst you? Who is there amongst you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom." So we were looking at, what does it take to be wise? If you're looking to have wisdom, if you need wisdom, but you feel like you're lacking wisdom, if you feel like you don't understand God, you're not hearing God, you're not seeing the guidance, we looked at yesterday was, oftentimes we are the ones who impede that wisdom filtering into our souls. God's speaking to us in our spirit, but sometimes we impede that progress, sharing of His wisdom, His truth, which is in our spirits, to our very souls. And we do that when we think, and this is where culture influences us, because culture teaches us to think about ourselves, to take care of yourself, to make your needs primacy. That's the first thing to take care of. Then you can meet the needs of others. That's what the culture teaches us. And oftentimes, we do that without even realizing that we're making ourselves the priority. The way that we should be operating is trying to help other people better themselves, better their situations, better their walk with Christ. Introduce them to the things, to the principles, to the promises of God. And as we spend the time teaching, encouraging, helping, strengthening, walking with, doing whatever sacrifices we can to benefit somebody else in their troubles, that God then moves in our life to take care of our things. I remove myself from my situation. I take my hand off of the control knobs and let God take control. And He does, and He fixes things. But there's something about the humility of thinking not of self first, but of others, that frees God, truly frees Him to move in your life. And if I'm lacking wisdom, it's probably because, in part, I'm too focused on myself and my own needs. So then, picking up at verse number 14, I'm going to read through the rest of this, and we'll just pick it up in verse number 14. "But if you have a bitter jealousy and envy and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your heart, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. The superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish, demonic. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there is also confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above, first of all, pure, undefiled, then it is peace, peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It's willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It's wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of the righteous, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace which means concord, agreement, harmony between individuals and undisturbedness, in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts." There's a lot there. There's a whole lot of words that are there, and you know, we're not going to get through all of that. But I want you to see that James is saying there is a true wisdom and there's a false wisdom. There's a true wisdom that comes from on high, and there's a false wisdom. And because we are so inundated with the things of the world and the things of culture, and culture telling us what we should believe, what we shouldn't believe, what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So many of our standards are becoming set by what the culture says. And James is saying there's a true wisdom and there's a false wisdom. Guess what? The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the flesh, the wisdom of the natural, that's false. It's counter to the Word of God, and it's counter to your benefit. The more that I buy into the things that the world tells me, when the world tells me something is acceptable, but the Bible says that it's not, when the world tells me that I should accept this as a standard, but the Bible says something different, if I accept what the world's standard is, I'm setting myself up for failure because I'm not availing myself to the wisdom of the Lord, the true wisdom. I'm putting myself in the wisdom of the world. Look around the world. Do you see a lot of wisdom, really? Look at what's happening in the world. Look what's happening in finances. Look what's happening with crime. Look at what's happening with immorality. Look at what's happening in just how people treat other people. Look around the world. Just look in our country. Now, you can take it from our country and you can amplify it by other countries, but just look at our country, at our culture. Do you see that there's a love for others, or do you see selfishness? Do you see that the economy is thriving and flourishing, or do you see that it's becoming bankrupt? Do you see that there is moral integrity, or do you see that there's a lot of moral compromise? Do you see a lot of sexual impurity heading in the wrong direction? Do you see, we just talked to yesterday someone during the morning show, during AM Mayhem, I had a chance to talk to a producer of a film, an upcoming film, that has to do with human trafficking. We're becoming more and more aware of human trafficking taking place around the globe and even here in our country. Is there sexual immorality? Is there sexual abuses? Well, when you look at like human trafficking, this is being inflicted upon those who can't even defend themselves. That's slavery. Are any of these things good? And do you see the direction changing to the better? Not because of the world's leadership, not because of our country's leadership, not because of the leadership of mankind himself. Because mankind, absent from the Word of God, is always going to make the wrong decisions, is always going to choose the things which take us away from the promises, from the good things, from the benefits and the blessings of God. And this is why James is telling us that there is a true wisdom and a false wisdom. The false wisdom is the wisdom of the world. Look at the world, look at the directions of our country. Do you think this is good wisdom being applied? Do you think this is the true wisdom being applied, or is it the false wisdom? If it's the false wisdom, then we need to separate ourselves as much as we can. We need to separate ourselves from that culture. Now, I don't mean that we become hermits and monks, you know, and living off. I don't mean that. But I mean that we have to be aware that the wisdom of the world is tainted, that the wisdom of the world has been corrupted. The wisdom of the world is not wisdom at all, as James describes here. It's devilish. It's demonic. Certainly no good can come to fruition in your life from taking the advice, taking the wisdom, or submitting yourself to the wisdom of the world. And yet, we find ourselves doing it more and more. When culture tells us that something is acceptable and tells us over and over and over again that this is acceptable, we begin to buy into their arguments. We begin to actually sympathize with their arguments and see that, well, those arguments make sense. They make sense in the flesh, but it's only in the flesh. If it's contrary to what the Word of God says, then we need to remove ourselves from that and stand steadfastly on what the Word says. So if we read yesterday in verse number 13 that if we lack wisdom, that part of that lack of wisdom is because we're thinking of self. This is what the world teaches us. The world teaches us to think of yourself and think about your own needs. Meet your own needs first and foremost. You deserve it. You have rights. You deserve these things. Stand up for your rights. Take possession of what is yours. And that's why we tend to think that, you know, we have a right that every single person should have. All the things the government tries to pour out to us. All these things become rights. If you can't afford to pay your bills, well, you've got rights. Other people shouldn't be able to have things that you don't have. So you should demand your rights. You should demand those things because it's not fair that somebody has something that you don't have. Demand your rights. That's the mindset of the world. It's not the mindset of God. I know that's hard to understand, but the mindset of God is that we're supposed to look to Him and trust to Him and not compare ourselves with our neighbors. Don't worry about what's happening in somebody else's life. All I need to do is worry about my spiritual well-being. And if I'm focused on God and I am seeking after His wisdom and not the wisdom of the world, I'm going to have more than enough. I'm going to have my needs taken care of more than enough. I'm going to be blessed in walking in His fruitfulness. I'm going to be blessed in walking in all the things that it's His good pleasure to release to me. When I demonstrate and show that I'm trustworthy. The wisdom of the world is contrary. The wisdom of the world says, you take care of yourself. That's not what God says. God says, think of others first. Don't compare yourself with other people. Don't make demands for your life and say, this isn't fair. That's not a godly attitude. And that's not an attitude that God can move through. Now, I know that seems like on the surface, well, I'm going to wind up with less. That's not going to be fair. I'm not going to have what others I need. If I don't take care of myself, if I don't stand up for my rights, nobody will. That's not correct. If you don't stand up for your rights, God will. If you don't stand up for your own justice, God will. If you'll take your hand off of trying to make everything right and fair and just according to your standards and your principles, God will. If I try to enforce things myself, God won't. If I entrust Him, if I take my hands off, if I don't try to demand and force my rights and enforce my rights upon others, if I don't do that, God will bring about justice on my behalf. Now, who do you suppose is better adept at distributing justice, at distributing His favor? Who do you suppose is better, God or me? Don't listen to the things of the world because the world's telling you things that are contrary. It's counter to what God's word says. So verse number 14, James goes on to say, but if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourself in it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. Those are pretty strong words. Okay, think about what we've just been talking about. Because here's James saying, listen, if you're bitter, if I'm bitter because somebody has something that I don't have, if I'm jealous because I see that somebody else is doing better than I am, if I see that somebody else has better health care, if I see somebody else has a better job, if I see somebody else drives a better car, if I see somebody else has a happier family, if their marriage appears better. If I see someone else and I look and I see that they have something better and I'm jealous about that, jealousy always leads to bitterness. If I'm jealous and if I'm bitter, that's what James is saying. Any kind of envy, contention, selfish ambition, thinking about myself. If I see someone else and they appear to be doing better than I am, I should be happy and joyous for them. I should say, thank you, Jesus, for the blessings that you've poured upon them. Have I ever done that? I mean, really, have we ever done that? Have we ever looked at someone and said, saw them walking in blessing and said, God, I'm so thankful. Thank you for blessing them. I'm excited for them. Have we ever done that? No, because the flesh says, well, that's not fair. Why do they have? I want that. God, why did you bless them with that and not me? I want what they have. They shouldn't have something that I don't have. God says that the heart of a disciple, the heart of one who truly is following Him, and the heart of the one who is going to be entrusted with His promises, with His good things, is the heart that's not filled with selfish ambition. If I look and I see that someone that is close to me is benefiting, I've got to make a choice. I can either let my heart, because the flesh, the heart's deceitfully wicked. The flesh will automatically, without any prompting on my part, the flesh will automatically choose envy and contention. Will already choose jealousy. I don't have to choose it. My flesh will choose it for me. It's the default position. It goes automatically to, that's not fair. It defaults automatically to, well, I'm jealous. That's not right. I wish I had that. I want that. It defaults to jealousy and envy. I have to make the mindful choice to say, when I see someone else, because my flesh is going to say right away, that's not fair. Why did they get admiration? Why did they get acclaim? I want that too. I have to make the decisive choice to look at someone else when they're blessed and say, I am so happy for them. Jesus, I'm saying thank you. I'm praising you for what you've done in their life because I see your hand and I see your blessing and I see your favor. And so I praise you for that. That's the kind of heart that God can move through. That's not the natural inclination of our nature. We have to choose to look in that direction. And if we choose to give ourselves and yield ourselves to that natural envy, that natural jealousy that comes out, if that's what we choose to do, James says that we are in defiance of the truth. We're in defiance of the truth. And we're not of the truth. We're of the false truth. Jesus wants to pour out abundantly into your life and into my life. He wants to. But I got to position myself to receive those good things, to receive that favor. And part of the way I position myself, part of the means of positioning myself, is with the attitude of my heart and my attitude towards other people and my attitude towards myself. If I'm filled with selfish ambition and only concerned with my benefit and my climbing the ladder and my getting the things that I want and not rejoicing in God blessing and pouring out abundantly on others, I'm not positioning myself to be where I can receive those good things in my life as well. Verse number 15 says, the superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's animal, it's even devilish. This is God saying that when we yield, we've got a choice to do every day. Every day, today, you're going to have a choice to make because you're going to see things, other people are going to benefit, and you're going to see your own struggles. You've got a choice to make, and I have a choice to make today when I see those things happening. When I see God's favor poured out abundantly on somebody else, I have a choice to make. I can either yield to that natural inclination, that natural choosing of the flesh, which is going to be jealous and envious and become bitter, or I can choose to say, Jesus, I see your hand. I see your favor and I see your blessing. And I say thank you on behalf of that individual. Thank you for pouring out your blessing on them and be happy for them. Because I can either be of what is the truth and what is the wisdom of one who truly follows God and the wisdom that comes down from heaven, or I can choose to align myself with the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of the world says, think of yourself first. And if you do that, that is putting yourself, it's accepting as a truth what the Bible says is a devilish, it's of the earth, it's natural, it's of the enemy. That's not where we want to align ourselves. So look at your day today. Look at people and see what God does in their lives. And rather than being concerned about yourself, start looking for people you can be happy for. Because, you know, nothing is better than when you have an opportunity to say, thank you, Jesus. When you praise Jesus, it frees him to move in your life. And if you have nothing in your life today that you can say praise him for, but you do, we all do. But if you can't see it, then find someone else that you can see God's hand, God's favor, his outpouring of abundance, whether he's healed them supernaturally or blessed them abundantly in whatever area of their life. Look at their lives and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're praising him for what he's done, not for you, but for someone else. And God can move through that in your life.